Okay, dear. I'm almost time. 3, 2, 1. Oh, look! There it is! There's our comet!
Oh, Bob, it's lovely. Yes, yes, I will marry you.
Oh, I can't believe this. That's bad astronomy.
Hi, I'm Phil Plait, and I've been trying to put a stop to this kind of nonsense for years. Now, not bad movies, but bad science, like that comet you just saw. In fact, in doing so, I've become known as the bad astronomer.
Not that I am bad at my job. I mean, I am a real astronomer. I've worked with Hubble Space Telescope and a few other projects like that. But I've become known as the bad astronomer because when I find bad science in television and movies and even in popular culture, I feel obliged to speak out and try to right these wrongs when I can. Popular culture is changing the way we see the world, and so it's becoming even more important today that we understand what it means to be scientific. Unfortunately, TV and movies, well, they put a lot of bad science and bad astronomy into their plots, but even worse, there are people out there who are trying to fool you. They use scientific-sounding words and a lot of pseudo-scientific babble to promote their own ideas.
Science is not just a collection of facts, ideas, and concepts. Science is a process. It's a way of finding things out. It's a method of testing what's real. It's what physicist Richard Feynman called a way of not fooling ourselves. Science by itself can take you on a journey that no horoscope or movie ever could.
There are few scenes to compete with the beauty of a dark country sky, lit by thousands of neighboring stars, the ever-changing appearance of the moon, the wandering planets, the brief light of a meteor. If you are unfamiliar with the night sky, however, you might mistake a common celestial object, or even a terrestrial object, for something extraordinary. It happens more often than you might think. These are called unidentified flying objects, or UFOs. However, I like to call them MFOs, or misidentified flying objects. When you're not very familiar with the sky, even the ordinary can appear extraordinary.
One of the most commonly reported UFOs is not of this Earth. As day turns into night, often a brilliant point of light can be seen hovering near the horizon. It shimmers, changes colors, and even dances around in a way that no earthly source can. But this strange object is actually a very common sight in the sky. It's the planet Venus. Venus can be amazingly bright, the third brightest celestial object in our sky after the sun and moon. Seen low on the horizon after sundown or before sunrise, Venus flickers and changes colors as our atmosphere refracts or bends its light. The perceived motion is part of a strange human phenomenon known as the autokinetic effect. When watching a bright point of light in an otherwise featureless sky, the brain perceives motion where none exists. Other bright lights, like the stars Sirius and Canis Major, or bright planets, can behave the same way. The list of misidentified objects in the sky is not limited to a few celestial or terrestrial objects. Meteors, planes, hot air balloons, even blimps have all been mistaken for alien visitors. But there are a few famous sightings that have not been so easily explained. In the 1940s, there were many sightings of V-shaped alien spacecraft. We know now that at the same time, there were many secret military aircraft in development, such as the Flying Wings. Radically different from other aircraft of their era, it is easy to see how anyone could mistake this terrestrial craft for a UFO. The Age of Flying Saucers started the afternoon of June 24, 1947. Kenneth Arnold, a private pilot, was flying in his single-engine plane near Mount Rainier when he saw nine strange objects flying through the sky. Arnold claimed that the objects flew like a saucer would if you skipped it across the water. That phrase was included in a story that was sent out over the news wires, and the Age of Flying Saucers was born. Soon after, flying saucers were reported worldwide. Although there are a number of possible explanations to Arnold's sightings, like a meteor breaking up, we may never know the truth. There was never any evidence, only his eyewitness testimony. Arnold was a respected pilot, but eyewitness testimony, especially from only one source, is highly unreliable. Of all the reported sightings of UFOs, one of the most controversial was a series that originated in Gulf Breeze, Florida. In the winter of 1987, Edward Walters claimed to have captured a UFO on film. Over the next few months, Walters submitted many photographs to the local papers. Tests conducted on the photographs could not disprove his claim. For several years, Walters' photographs were considered proof positive of the existence of UFOs. But after he sold his home, the new owners discovered a UFO model hidden in the attic, an exact match for the UFO featured in his photographs. Adding to this discovery was the fact that Walters was also an accomplished photographer, skilled in the art of double exposure techniques. It now appears that the entire Gulf Breeze UFO phenomenon may have started as a hoax. One of the most compelling arguments against UFOs being alien spacecraft involves simple physics. The incredible distances between the planets of our small solar system can take months or years to traverse. Our fastest spacecraft yet is the New Horizons mission to Pluto. Using the gravitational assistance of Jupiter and traveling up to 51,000 miles per hour, it still needs 9 years to reach Pluto. And that's just traveling in our own celestial neighborhood. To journey to the nearest star, New Horizons would need over 50,000 years. The only way to overcome these time constraints is to travel faster. The fastest anything can travel is 186,000 miles per second, also known as the speed of light. Current human technology won't get a spacecraft anywhere close to this speed. Even if some alien spacecraft were capable of reaching the speed of light, the trip would require over 4 years to reach the nearest star. Traveling to other solar systems would require hundreds of years. Distance, speed, and time seem to make alien visitors an unlikely explanation for UFOs.
In February of 1997, I was in Florida with my family to watch a pre-dawn space shuttle launch. About an hour before the launch, I spotted some unusual lights that were slowly moving, weaving toward us. Accompanying the lights was a strange, otherworldly sound. My heart and mind were racing. What were these things? As they drew closer, the noise grew louder, and the dots in my binoculars resolved into a flock of ducks. The strange sound was their distant quacking, and their mysterious glow was the reflected light from the spotlights around the launch pad. The ducks appeared to hover since they were far away and moving towards us. After laughing, I wondered why I was vaguely disappointed. The lessons from my experience are, well, one, don't mistake ducks for an alien spacecraft, and two, there's a human desire to believe in extraordinary things. When an event doesn't fit in with our prior experiences, we tend to jump to conclusions. And three, even an experienced astronomer can make a mistake. Simply put, anytime something not easily explained is seen in the sky, you have yourself a UFO. It's unidentified, but aliens may or may not be involved.
Area 51's overstocked, so to make room for the new inventory, all of Uncle Bob's used UFOs must go. Prices are being slashed on all models, big and small. Financing is available. Bad credit? No credit? Aliens probe your credit card? No problem! All credit applications will be approved. Act now. These beauties won't last long, so get your real UFO today!
The last half of the 20th century was a pretty tough time. Everybody was afraid that World War III was right around the corner, just a press of the button away. But on July 20th, 1969, there was an event that united the entire planet. Everybody stopped and watched as Neil Armstrong stepped foot on the moon. This was a stunning achievement. We had just started to explore space. And so for a lot of people, this was pretty hard to believe. Well, even today, there are people who think that NASA faked the moon landings.
People that believe the moon landings were faked point to several key pieces of evidence to support their claim. Perhaps the most compelling piece of evidence is the lack of stars in the lunar photographs. On the airless surface of the moon, the sky is black, and therefore, stars should be plentiful. This argument sounds convincing. When the sky is dark and clear here on Earth, stars are easily seen. Why shouldn't it be true on the moon as well? The answer is simple. The stars are too faint to be seen in the images. On the surface of the moon, the cameras were set to photograph scenes brightly lit by sunlight. The proper exposure time would therefore have to be short, less than a quarter of a second. This is way too short to pick up the faint light from the stars. In this photograph, a brightly lit subject has no stars in the background. If a longer exposure is made, the subject is overexposed and unrecognizable, but now the stars are visible. The same principle applies to the moon. Additionally, many of the photographs from the moon show long shadows cast by objects. Hoax believers feel that with only one source of light, the sun, all shadows should be parallel. Hoax believers suggest that the non-parallel shadows were produced by multiple light sources on a movie set. However, all the photographs show only one shadow for each object. Multiple lights would produce multiple shadows. Then why are the shadows non-parallel if there is only one light source? Because the shadows are being cast on uneven terrain. This same effect is seen on Earth. The astronauts faced many dangers on their journey. One was lethal radiation. Hoax believers assume that once outside the safety of Earth, and particularly outside the Van Allen belts, that space is filled with deadly radiation. But actually, radiation levels drop once you are past the belts. In fact, the entire idea that the belts are some sort of radiation shield is incorrect. The Van Allen belts are a zone created by Earth's magnetic field that traps high-energy protons emitted by the sun. Rather than a shield, The belts themselves create dangerous levels of radiation, but the Apollo mission trajectories were deliberately designed to avoid these areas. When the astronauts landed on the moon, they arrived in an alien environment with lower gravity and no atmosphere. Humans are used to Earth's gravity and atmosphere. What is normal is based on terrestrial experiences. The moon is a very different place. Consider the lunar landing site. Hoax believers argue that a crater should have been blasted out of the lunar dust by the lander's engine, but in official photographs, footprints are easily seen on the barely disturbed surface. The astronauts used 10,000 pounds of thrust to leave lunar orbit. But as the lander approached the lunar surface, the engine was throttled down to only 3,000 pounds of thrust. Doing the math, the engine thrust generated a pressure of about 1.5 pounds per square inch. That's about the same pressure that a 150-pound person exerts standing on the Earth. Hardly enough pressure to blast out a crater. In addition, dust behaves differently in a vacuum. At standard atmospheric pressure, using an air nozzle and a tray of simulated lunar soil, the dust behaves as expected. Removing the air, the dust does not billow. Only the dust directly under the nozzle is disturbed. Astronauts on the moon witnessed similar results under the engine's nozzle. Computers have become an integral part of our daily life. During the time of Apollo, computer technology was in its infancy. Hoax believers assumed that without a very sophisticated computer, a trip to the moon was impossible. The spacecraft computers may have been simple, but they were designed to accomplish only one task: navigate to and return from the moon. They didn't have to run spreadsheets, play games, connect to the internet, or download music. The computers were radio-linked to the more sophisticated, room-sized computers back at NASA, which performed any truly taxing calculations in advance. Another point hoax believers assert is that the nylon flag planted by the astronauts waves in the breeze. Why does the flag wave when there is no air on the moon? The flag hung from a metal rod sewn into the top. This rod was attached to the flagpole, which was pushed into the ground as the flag was deployed. The flapping movement was generated not by wind, but by the twisting motion as the flag was planted. It really doesn't flap in the breeze. It swings like a pendulum. The inertia of the flag provides the movement, not the wind.
We tend to want to believe conspiracy theories. Being in the know, we're part of an elite group, and life is a little more exciting. Also, the hoax believers present evidence in such a way that if you're unfamiliar with scientific principles, it sounds reasonable. But I've read literally dozens of things that prove the landings were faked, and each is really easily debunked by using a scientific approach. But don't take my word for it. You should look at the evidence thoroughly for yourself.
For a limited time only, you can own your very own fake moon rock. That's right, these limited edition collector's items are being released from the Nassau Vault for sale to the general public. Each item is stamped with its date of creation, the soundstage they appeared on, and the Apollo mission for which they were created. Best of all, you get the actual fake moon rocks for only 20 easy payments of $19.95. Own a piece of history today.
Actual fake moon rocks are not endorsed by NASA, the U.S. government, or any legal space agency. Product of Albonia.
Science has been a part of movie storytelling since the very beginning. However, the portrayal of science has been a little uneven over the years. Some films go to great pains to portray science accurately, like 2001: A Space Odyssey,
But others, well, they seem to forget about science altogether. So sometimes movie makers use dramatic license to add excitement to what would otherwise be a fairly dull experience. The problem will always be that fancy special effects and silly plots make for a much more enjoyable movie-going experience, even if it means sacrificing the science. Well, let's take a look at a typical sci-fi sequence. Do you see anything wrong with this scene? On the other hand, did you see anything right with that scene? There are four main errors committed in this all-too-familiar sequence.
Excitement in the movies is enhanced by sound. The louder, the better. Engines rev, weapons fire, spaceships explode. Unfortunately, none of that can be heard in space. In an atmosphere, particles vibrate and bounce off each other, carrying the sound from the source to its destination. But in space, there is no atmosphere. Here is an experiment with a familiar but very unpopular household appliance. An alarm clock. The vibrations from the alarm force air molecules to bounce off each other, pushing them across the room. But what would be heard if the air is removed from the jar? Without the air molecules, there is nothing to transmit the vibrations from the alarm clock. Since there is no atmosphere in space, there is nothing to transmit the sound, so it wouldn't be possible to hear anything. No explosions, no screaming engines, no sound at all. Unlike a car, an aircraft cannot simply apply the brakes and turn. Instead, an aircraft must use the forces of lift to turn. This maneuver is known as banking, and it's the reason an aircraft has wings, a tail, and a rudder. These components work because they push against air. Since there is no air in space, there is no need for wings, a tail, or a rudder on a spacecraft. What is needed, however, are thrusters. They do all the work. To move in space, a thruster is fired on one side of the spacecraft, which moves the craft in the opposite direction. But don't forget what Isaac Newton said: an object in motion stays in motion. Once the spacecraft starts moving in one direction, it will keep going in that direction unless something is done to stop it, like another thruster. There's something interesting about light. It's needed to see, but can't be seen itself. Light is invisible. Well, sort of. Consider the laser beams shooting from the movie ship. Lasers are directed, highly concentrated beams of light. But would they be visible shooting through space? Think about it. The light source can be seen, and the object being lit can be seen. But what is seen between the source and the object? Nothing. And yet the light must be there. The only time an observer would be able to see the laser beam from the side is if something scattered the light toward them, like dust or other small particles. The laser is currently on, but until particles are added, the beam cannot be seen. Without something to reflect the beam, it is effectively invisible from any angle except head-on. Thus, lasers in the vacuum of space really couldn't be seen shooting out from the ship. In addition, light travels approximately 186,000 miles per second. So, even if the light could be seen, a spacecraft couldn't move fast enough to avoid it. In the movies, asteroid belts are often portrayed as dense swarms of tumbling rocks. In reality, asteroids in a belt are generally few and far between. Take, for instance, the solar system's asteroid belt. If all the asteroids were combined together into a single body, the result would be an object smaller than the moon. Now consider the vast expanse of the asteroid belt. All of the asteroids in the main belt of the solar system inhabit approximately 300 quadrillion square miles. The average space between asteroids is about 1,000,000 miles. A trip through an asteroid belt would, in reality, be rather dull. So how would this movie scene change if it were edited to the strict guidelines of good science? Well, it seems obvious why movie makers often abandon the principles of science in favor of more dramatic and flashy special effects. Sometimes entertaining movies are more important to audiences than accurate ones. Some movies set themselves apart from the rest by employing nearly every bad science principle possible. For instance, planet-destroying asteroid movies were very popular for quite a while. Each variation of this theme has two very similar elements: a gargantuan chunk of rock on a collision course with Earth, and an improbable solution to avert disaster. Collisions between planets and objects in our solar system are really not uncommon. In 1994, a comet known as Shoemaker-Levy 9 was torn apart by the gravity of Jupiter. The catastrophic impacts that followed were broadcast worldwide thanks to views from the Hubble Space Telescope. In 1908, it's believed that a large space-borne object, either an asteroid or comet fragment, exploded over Tunguska, Siberia. The resulting explosion knocked down trees and shattered windows thousands of miles away. Even further back, 65 million years ago, an impact caused the death of the dinosaurs. So, catastrophic impacts can happen. For the sake of argument, assume that, like in the movies, a large asteroid ends up on a collision course with planet Earth. How do we prevent disaster? In the cinema world, movie heroes would create a big explosion and the asteroid would either be split in half or nudged off course. Just enough to avert disaster, but still close enough to create a tense and exciting movie. Would this really work? Probably not. Most asteroids are rather loose collections of material. Creating an explosion near or inside an asteroid would likely result in millions of pieces of shrapnel that are still on a collision course with Earth. The result would be the most breathtaking meteor shower in all of human history. Unfortunately, it could also mark the end of human history. So how could the Earth really avoid disaster? Current plans call for a less dramatic, but more scientifically possible solution. This could be accomplished by using a slow but steady rocket motor, or even a large weight acting like a gravitational tow truck to change the asteroid's path. Not as exciting as a giant movie explosion, but a more scientifically valid way to save the planet.
Reality-bending special effects are essential to sci-fi storytelling. As long as that's the case, there will always be bad astronomy and really bad science in movies.
Hi, this is Schlocky Kosel from the International Sand Registry. This holiday season, give the gift that lasts forever. Name a grain of sand after someone. For only $59.95, you'll receive a full-color sand chart of the location of your grain, a personalized certificate of authenticity, and an informational pamphlet describing the many wonderful sands of the world. Best of all, your grain will be recorded in book form filed with the U.S. Copyright Office. Grains of sand make perfect gifts for any special occasion. Call 555-722-6633. Remember, there are only as many grains of sand as there are stars in the sky, so call today.
Hey, babe, you come here often? What's your sign? I'm a Taurus. We might be compatible. Can you dig it?
What's your sign? Who uses that today as an opening line? But still, everybody knows their sign. They're seen every day in newspapers and websites. Even after thousands of years, astrology seems more popular than ever. This makes it the biggest, baddest, bad astronomy of them all. Simply put, though, astrology doesn't work. Astrology as we know it today is a belief that the positions of celestial objects at the time of a person's birth influence their personality, life, and future. But note that I said belief.
Astrology and astronomy are often confused with one another. The two fields developed together throughout human history. Because they were so intertwined, many believe that astrology is some sort of science. It was not until a few hundred years ago that astronomy and astrology went their separate ways. Astronomy as a science and astrology as a belief. Yet astrology seems scientific because astrologers mimic science methods to some degree. They make predictions based on observations. In science, these predictions would be called hypotheses. In astrology, they are called horoscopes. Horoscopes claim that a person's character, destiny, and even some events are influenced by the position of the stars and planets. But hypotheses or predictions are only the first step of good science. A scientist would set up rigorous experiments to test their hypothesis. Strangely, astrologers don't agree on what force causes the planets to influence human behavior. Could it be gravity? Some astrologers claim this might be the force in question. Gravity obviously works at great distances, as seen by the planets orbiting the sun. Perhaps the gravity of the planets does have some effect on our lives. Gravity depends on two things, the mass of the object and its distance. The more mass something has, the stronger it pulls, and the farther away it is, the weaker it pulls. If the mass of an object and its distance are known, the force of gravity on a person can be calculated. It's rather simple to do this for the sun, moon, and the five naked eye planets that astrology has used to cast horoscopes for thousands of years. Doing the math, the massive sun has the strongest gravitational effect, but for the moon and the planets, distance wins over mass. The strength of gravity depends on the square of the distance, a detail astrologers ignore. For example, though Jupiter is 25,000 times more massive than the Moon, it is 1,500 times farther away, reducing Jupiter's gravitational influence to 100 times less than the Moon's. So if gravity were the causal mechanism behind astrology, then the Sun and Moon's influence should dominate all the planets combined. However, astrologers place much heavier emphasis on planets than the sun and the moon when casting a horoscope. If this mysterious force isn't gravity, perhaps the planets have some other strange ways to influence lives that don't depend on distance. The discovery of Uranus, Neptune, and Pluto baffled astrologers as the effects of these objects had not been noticed for thousands of years. If these celestial bodies did exert influences before astronomers discovered them, shouldn't an astrologer have noticed? Astronomers have now discovered new objects orbiting beyond Pluto and hundreds of planets orbiting other stars. If all these bodies have as much force as, say, Jupiter and Mars, how can astrologers possibly cast an accurate horoscope? So if science can't determine how astrology works, can science test the basic premise that it does work? According to astrologers, personality and career are strongly affected by the birth or star sign of a person. A good scientific test might be to see if people with similar jobs, like US presidents, might share similar signs. If signs do affect personality or career, the president's birthdays should fall under only a few signs within the zodiac. The presidents are not clustered into one or a few signs of the zodiac. Astrology fails this and actually many other scientific tests.
Unfortunately, many people still read their horoscopes. And even worse, some rely on them for crucial advice. Let me read you a horoscope that was cast for me. Though you may be as intelligent as anyone, you don't really have a rational, logical approach toward life, and trying to reach you through logical arguments is often futile. Your feelings, intuition, and heart lead you, which may infuriate or bewilder your more rational friends. You have an open, receptive attitude toward such areas as psychic phenomena, telepathy, and parapsychology. And that sounds just like me, doesn't it?
We've seen many examples of how science is different than the bad astronomy or bad science of popular culture. Science is a systematic method of understanding the physical world gained through observation and experimentation. Scientific theories are subject to challenges, review, and revisions as new data become available. People cling to the mystical or accept bad science because it's easy. But if you really think, really investigate, and not just accept, you're well on your way to a world, a universe really, much more amazing than you might imagine. No astrologer ever predicted the existence of Neptune, Pluto, Sedna, or Eris. No astrologer predicted the hundreds of planets now known to orbit other suns. But astronomers did. It wasn't someone who practices homeopathy who found a cure for smallpox or polio. Scientists did. Medical scientists. No creationist ever cracked the genetic code. Chemists did. Molecular biologists did. They used physics. They used math. They used chemistry, biology, astronomy, and engineering. They used science. Computers? Cell phones? Rockets to Saturn? Probes to the ocean floor? Xbox? The internet? All by scientists. As a scientist, I know a place where the sun never sets. It's a mountain, and it's on the moon. It is so high that even as the moon spins, it's in perpetual daylight. I know a place where the sun never shines. It's at the bottom of the ocean. A crack in the crust there exudes nasty chemicals and heats the water to the boiling point. But yet, life exists and thrives. I know a place where the temperature is 27 million degrees and the pressure would crush you to a microscopic dot. That place is the core of the sun. I know a place where gravity would rip you apart and even light can't escape. That place is a black hole. No crystal balls, no aliens, no horoscopes. Welcome to science. You're going to like it here.